good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Team Power. Team Power is our local John Deere Kubota tractor dealer, and they're on Twin View Boulevard, 3119 Twin View, just south of Phil's Propeller, and they do everything tractor. So if you need repairs or need a new tractor or just want to go up and talk to them about tractors, go up and see them. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can reach them on the web at readingtractors.com. That's Team Power.
Ding.
Ding.
Very good, Bill. So, let's see. Thanks to our other folks who sponsor the show as individuals or small groups. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's funny. We have several people that want to remain nameless but support the show and just listen every week.
Thanks a million.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We would love to hear from you, too. We don't do a lot of call-ins on the show, obviously, but yeah, it kind of derails things, so we don't do a lot of that.
Well, get an expert, and you know, that's our deal. We let them talk.
But if you've got ideas on what we should cover, topics, people, you've read a great book and you thought the author would be interesting, heard them on the radio, but they were only on for 2 seconds or TV or whatever, get a hold of us. You can find all our contact information at WeThePeopleRadio.us, and we have free archives that are on there of all the programs back into 2010. It costs you nothing to listen. You should be able to download them unless the archives go haywire like they did last week. But then just get a hold of us right away and we'll get it fixed.
Yeah.
But no charge for that. And the commercials have been taken out thanks to Robert Exter. So little team effort we got going on here. All right, second hour. We're into a topic that Bill and I know nothing about. So we're going to count on...
Well, only what I've been told.
Yeah.
And it's frightening.
It's super scary.
It's very scary.
So we have... And I haven't put a whole lot on online. I should let you know that I did update the webpage with Shen Yun, I don't know if we call it a musical. It's a giant production. But I did put that on there. So if you were listening while you were driving or something like that, the link for that is on there. And the 45 goals from the Naked Communist to overthrow the United States that we were discussing, that is also on there.
And that was in 1958?
58.
So we knew that this was all going on a long time ago, and here we go. We're going to give it a little try. We're just going to dabble
give it a little bit. Little whirl. Oh, and we noticed one over the, not to rabbit trail here too hard, but it was get the students. Use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. It's like, oh, check that one off, too. Yeah. We could check a lot of these off. So we have Nan Su with us this hour, and we're talking about organ harvesting. I'll just do the spoiler alert. That's the extent of my information. So, June, why don't you give us an introduction on this so that poor Nan Su doesn't have to introduce himself?
Yeah, talking about team effort, Bill, so it is my pleasure to introduce my friend, Nan Su. Now, he is a reporter from an independent newspaper called The Epoch Times. Now, if you're looking for a newspaper with no socialism, no communism, and just pure American journalism, I would say look no further. Check out, you know, The Epoch Times, and then people call it independent, fearless, real issues. And people even, you know, compare it as oxygen. You know, it's like oxygen to them. The true independent news these days is so rare.
Sure.
But anyway, I came to know Nan Su a few years ago. He and I are both human rights advocates. And I know that Nan Su specializes in the organ harvesting, the case. That he's been giving that talk to many of the groups in Bay Area for a long time. So I thought it would be a great idea to bring him, you know, to a show and just to further talk about the brutality and deceit of communism that I've, you know, mentioned earlier in the first half of the show.
Great.
So, Nan?
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me, everyone.
Well, thanks for being on. This topic is something I don't think people know a whole lot about, and looking forward to what you have.
Well, you know, I have been a news commentator for NTD TV, and especially about news in and out of China, really about what's going on in China, because our media was established by the students and scholars coming who came out of China and, you know, trying to have independent news channel to give news in and out of China. Talking about the organ harvesting from live prisoners of conscience, I'm not sure if you guys heard about in June of 2016, the U.S. Congress had a resolution. It was called a House Resolution 343, which was unanimously passed by the American Congress. Which is so stated in the resolution that the Chinese government has been systematic state-sanctioned organ harvesting from non-consenting prisoners of conscience in the People's Republic of China, including large number of Falun Gong practitioners and members of other religious and ethnic minority groups, quote unquote. That was so stated in the resolution 343 by U.S. Congress in June of 2016. And also, U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom on the 2016 report, which summarized activities in 2015, also stated imprisoned Falun Gong practitioners are particularly targeted for organ harvesting. And there's other reports about organ harvesting, forced organ harvesting from live prisoners of conscience. Now, the reason that Falun Gong practitioners was specifically mentioned in many of these reports was because Falun Gong was such a large group, under the persecution. To give you some numbers, some, ideas about the kind of a percentage we're talking about comparing with the other groups. Now, in 2006, the United Nations Special Report on Torture and the Cruel Inhumane Treatment of Prisoners of Conscience, they have this statistic which says the Falun Gong practitioners as a victim group, the victim population of Falun Gong is about 7,200 million. And Uyghur groups, about 15 million, Uyghur group. Uyghur group was a Chinese Muslim group. And Tibetan, Uyghur groups are about 15 million. And Tibetan Buddhism group was about 7.8 million. And House Church Christians, as much less. So, percentage-wise, the victim population in China, Falun Gong group made up about over 66%, and Uyghur group was about 11%, and Tibetans about 6%, and the House Christian group was about 2%. So those are the group of prisoners of conscience that's been under the persecution by Chinese government. So what they did was, there's a few reports talk about how these groups, they are, the prisoners of these groups, they are jailed, they are in prison or in the labor camp. And the Chinese government, what they did was basically they just kill these people and they just forcibly take their organs away. And they, they sell them. At the beginning, they start selling them, to most of the customers were foreigners. They, because they have a very long waiting time if they're outside of China. So they, so by their own choice, they will go to China to receive like livers, kidneys, hearts. They will receive all these, transplants. The earliest investigation was actually conducted by two Canadian citizens. One is his name is David Kilgore, who was the former Canadian Secretary of State in the Asia Pacific region. And another, his partner was named David Matas, who was an international human rights lawyer. So they call it the new evil of the on Earth, the new evil on Earth, because, you know, they basically took a large population of their own people, they put them in jail because of what they believe, and then they forcibly take their organs away and, you know, just sold them for profit.
That's unbelievable that would be. How could you even think of doing something like that?
We have to take a really quick break. There is no good time to take a really quick break, but I'm updating the website kind of as we go, because I'm going to say, I'm guessing most Americans have, and I don't know where other, you know, people listen all around the world, but the Falun Gong is spelled FalunGong. If you're looking that up and trying to figure that out, I'm going to add some articles, and I know you guys are going to send me some things after the show to post so that people can learn about that, because for most people, they have no idea what that even means. So maybe we could do a little backstory on that when we come back. You know, what is that and why are these people targeted? Because I personally don't understand why they would be targets, and it sounds like it's bad anyway, regardless. So we'll be right back with Nan Su. And we have June held hostage in there with us still for the second hour. You're listening to We the People, and you can join us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Have a little mental health break there for 2 minutes.
I take a breath there. You know.
Okay, Nancy, we have a lot of questions.
Yeah, we're talking about organ harvesting from prisoners, and
but how did they become prisoners?
I thought they were, you know, harvesting, like, you have two kidneys, we'll take one of them, but they're actually harvesting organs that you pretty much got to have to survive. So
I mean, if they're harvesting hearts,
yeah, you they're killing
people. That's a final harvest,
dissecting them and stealing the parts. Yeah. Mind-boggling.
Sorry for freaking out.
Yeah, it was a really mind-boggling. One of these investigation. Israel was one of the earliest nation. The first nation who actually banned, not really banned, but they say, well, if you are going to decide to go to China to have organ transplant, then basically their medical insurance is not going to cover you. And the reason was they find out that because in early times they found their own citizens, you know, going to China to receive kidney transplant, which they thought that's the same way you just mentioned, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then later they found that their patients going to China to receive like heart transplant.
So this isn't being done for Chinese people, not that it would be okay then either, but this is being, they have like a worldwide market.
That's right. Yeah. That's a worldwide market, and that's how the Israel started, the doctors and the medical societies in Israel, they realized there was something serious wrong going on over there. So they passed, they passed some sort of ordinance and legislature early on to ban the people. Oh, they can't ban the people, but they just say, oh, if you go to China to receive organ transplant, then, you know, your medical insurance is not going to cover it.
Oh, are there other countries that, I mean, I'm sure in that community, it's probably well known that this is going on in China. But do other countries, I mean, do they allow their people to go to China to get a transplant? Because you know where it's coming from. But I guess you're right. They couldn't really stop them from going over there. But is this something that's, hugely popular? A lot of people do it?
Actually, a lot of people from all over the world went to China because they have such a short waiting time.
Sure.
You know, early on, like all the way until 2008, even 2009, you know, when the patients call China, usually they will promise you like a liver or kidney transplant within a week. And also,
they have a ready supply.
Yeah, you know, you see, if you have patients in your family or friends or relatives in the U.S., if they want to, they need to wait for organ transplant, kidneys, livers. It's like a years of.
Oh sure.
Oh yeah.
Right.
But my gosh, you can't go over there and get one from China if you know people are dying for it. That. I don't know how anybody in good conscience could participate in that.
Apparently there's a market, so conscience is in short supply. Explain to us again.
More than that, what happened was actually in Taiwan and some of the ancient countries like South Korea, they actually have organized some of the specialized travel agency. They will organize the organ transplant group. They will all, you know, go to China together. They will stay at the hospital. They will arrange the hotel for the relatives. And then they all, you know, they all, like, in a month or so, they will come back. You know, hopefully most of them will come back if the operation is successful. Then, you know, that's kind of because it's a very short period of waiting time for them
to see the
transplant.
Yeah, wow. You could give somebody a kidney for Christmas, and we'll go over and pick it up.
I'm sure that list is just like that's just the hot list for hell right there. You know, if you want to sign up for hell, there you go. I got a way to do it. So explain to us.
Yeah, well, going back to your question, though, you asked why these people were persecuted.
Yes, please.
Why these people were put in jail. Now, let's go back. I think there's just a lot of people living in the United States, they really don't have a deep understanding what the life is about living under such a communist.
No, we have no clue.
Right.
Not
now,
even a hint.
Well, there are a few points that we need to talk about. First of all, the communist movement, everywhere they go, you know, the communist movement touched, they will always destroy the traditional values that happened in Soviet Union. It happened in all the, you know, former communist nations in the Eastern European countries. And it happened in, like, China, North Korea, and Cambodia, Vietnam, all these countries. But they take in different forms. Now let's talk about the Falun Gong, this group, a little bit.
Yeah, who are they and why them?
Yeah, how come they're in trouble all the time?
Right. Yeah, Falun Gong was a traditional meditation exercise. You know, it's deeply rooted in traditional Chinese culture, very similar to many of the Buddhist discipline meditation. It's not even considered religion, but they do. Now, this is the key. They do have three principles. That's called truth, compassion, and tolerance. If you think about it, for Christians, if you are true Christians holding the traditional Christian values, those are the three principles also practiced by a Christian, many other religions.
But none of those really make a good communist.
That's correct. Now, there was many people asking why they are persecuted. Why? Now, a lot of people, to put them side by side with Tai Chi, I'm not sure you've ever heard of the practice of Tai Chi, you know, the soft or slow movement. Of Tai Chi. It's very popular. It's also, millions and millions of people doing those things, like in the morning over the park and the public space. And a lot of people wonder why Falun Gong was persecuted while Tai Chi is allowed, right? And that go back to the qi, we talk about the three principles. Now, tai chi, if you do these comparisons, it's very obvious why all these prisoners of conscience from all different faith communities are persecuted. Now, tai chi was originally from Taoist philosophy. You know, it was originally from a Taoist temple. Now, however, when tai chi was introduced to the public, it cut its tie from Taoist philosophy. So most of the people, only, I would say 99.999% of people who practicing tai chi, they only doing the body movement part. So basically, it's not different than a power walk, or you go into the gym,
right,
or you practice, like, if you go to Lamas class, people will teach you like a medical qigong, right? That's like a breathe exercise.
So, yeah, it's basically an exercise, has no tie to religion.
That's right. So tai chi was, it's really, there's no values, when, you know, that goes with the practice of tai chi.
Mm.
While Falun Gong, it's got the three principles of truth, compassion, and tolerance. So that is what Chinese government start persecuting it, because that's what, no, and it's the same reason they persecuted the Christianity in China. They persecuted Tibetan Buddhism or the Uyghurs group, any other religious group. It's really, they don't want you to have your own value system, and that's they are go after it. So that's how, you know, Falun Gong was introduced to the public in 1992, and by 1999, the Chinese government's own statistic showing it's like a close to 100 million people practicing in China, which is which our number, total membership of Chinese Communist Party. And it's, in the beginning, the government actually encourage the society doing that because it's such a huge medical benefit. A lot of people, they practice it, they got a better health. You know, they you know, some of the disease, and you know, the practitioners practice this exercise, they get well. So it actually save a lot of medical costs for the government. So at the beginning, they really encourage it, and later they saw all people all over the country practicing, and all of a sudden they have their own value system now.
Oh, they got off.
Yeah,
they escaped the reservation.
So that's how the government started persecuting it. And then because there was such a huge population practicing it, then the government started, you know, persecuting it. And then, you know, all these, because so such a huge population they put in jail, all of a sudden they have a huge reserve of organs on the live people's body, right? So that's how all these things start happening. And of course, it didn't only happen to Falun Gong practitioners. Also, you know, it's a lot of religious groups or faith groups that have a serious concern about it, because they all have a report, you know, showing them that they have people missing in jail. So the investigation has been going for a long time, and there was not only that report we mentioned on, and there's a few other reports. One of them is called, if you call the investigation of War Organization of Investigating persecution of Falun Gong. If you go to that website, there's a lot of report and available. And then actually investigation was actually led by a doctor who came to United States, Dr. Wang Ziyuan, who came to United States in 1995. He was a research fellow in Harvard School of Public Health. And before he came to United States, he was one of the members of a central national military medical society of China. So he actually came to United States early on, 1995, and he led this investigation, which, you know, found huge amount of evidence.
How many?
No more questions. We have to take a really quick break.
Okay, I got a burning question.
I know. We have all these burning questions. And I'm looking at it. We have 30 minutes left. We're not going to have enough time. All right. We'll be right back with Nan Su and Silent June. I'll have June pop in again. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Actually, bigger than caffeine. We decided, Nancy, if you're driving and you're really tired, you should listen to shows about this topic because it just, I mean,
wow,
our minds are racing. Okay,
so wait,
I want to know really easy. If you wind up getting snatched off the street because they accidentally found out you were thinking outside the box, do you stay there forever? I mean, is this do people get imprisoned for periods of time?
Actually get a term, or are they just
there forever?
Well, if you are practicing something the government doesn't like, then, you know, usually what they do is they will put you in jail or prison or some sort of, a brainwash class. They will ask you to denounce whatever you practice or whatever you believe. So, you know, using Falun Gong as an example, what they do is they will ask you to denounce what you believe, which is a very painful process for a lot of people, if you truly believe something.
Sure.
And then they will let you go. Or if you refuse to denounce what you believe, they will keep you in there. Now, especially now, for some of the brainwash class, they don't have to really go through any of the legal process to put you in there, and then they will keep you in there as long as they want. So you really don't have any way really trying to get yourself out there.
Right. There's no legal system in place.
So yeah. you get sent in there, and you have healthy organs. I mean, they have nothing but. I mean, they've got a lot of choices. They don't have to answer to anybody. There's no due process. So basically, they have all the people there to pick from. And somebody brought up during, when we were on break, it's like, this is actually a weird form, a super creepy form of capitalism. I mean, they're making money off this whole thing.
It's called national capitalism.
Right? Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's no different than, it's a government operation.
Sure.
The people usually talk about the kind of illegal organ transplants that it happened in many of the countries such as India, Mexico. But those are not government government organized the crime.
Right. Right.
Except that this is, in China, it's really a government organized the crime.
And how many?
There's no way you can investigate them because the military, and because the military, the health department, the trade, also there's a lot of State Department, there's a lot of all government department agencies all get involved in this process. How are you going to investigate them?
Yeah, you're right. Not.
Yeah, you don't want to stick your nose into something that's going to end
up bad for you. Or you get to join them.
So how many people, I'm not sure how long this has been going on, but how many people are affected by this program? Do they have any numbers on the amount of people that are being processed?
They don't have actually, it's very hard actually to actually have a number to make estimation of this scale with the Chinese government still in power. But we do have some Chinese government statistics by its own that shows how massive this scale is. For example, by Chinese government's own statistics, between 1991 and 1998, that 8 years, China only the liver transplant. Okay, the liver transplant was only they had the 8 years. They only have 78 cases of liver transplant. So keep in mind, 1999 was the benchmark because 1999 was the year the Chinese government started persecution of Falun Gong.
Right.
Right? So from 1999 to 2006, that's also 8 years. There's also 8 years comparing with the previous 8 years, that's 78 cases of total liver transplant. But from 1999 to 2006, you know how many liver transplants they got? 14,085 cases of total liver transplant. So you compare with the 8 years before the persecution of Falun Gong and the 8 years after the persecution of Falun Gong started, you know, you got to look at from 78 cases to more than 14,000 cases.
Wow.
So, 14,000 statistic given by Chinese government itself.
Wow. And that's just livers.
That's just only talking about the livers. There was if you log into the World Organization of Investigating Persecution of Falun Gong, you log into that site, they have a lot more evidence. You know, I only have the time to mention a few numbers here.
Right. That's incredible. From 78 to 14,000. And then when you factor in, you know, hearts, kidneys, you know, all the rest of it, sounds like mass production.
Yeah, also, there's something happening in our community, too. You ever heard of the exhibition of Body War?
No.
It goes around, and, you know, in many nations in the Western world, it's called Body War exhibition. Basically, you know, they take human body and they do the plasticization of a human body. And then, after the human body is human plastination, and then they will, you know, they take these samples all away, you know, all around the world. And, you know, the Body War exhibition was started by a German, a medical professional. His name was Von Hagens. And, you know, he went to China. You know when he built his factory of human body plastination? That was August of 1999, just 1 month
after interesting
the
timing
of of Falun Gong started. You know, he built it, and there was a bunch of investigation about how he built the human body plastination in China, how he got all these bodies. You know, there was a human body and there was also organs, right? It go both different ways. So while the organs are taken, the prisoners of conscience are killed, and their bodies and also, you know, used by these companies. Then they actually export, you know, you think about take a human body and then export it to all around the world. And it actually, you know, it involved a lot of, you know, transportation agency, custom, you know, there's a lot of agencies.
Sure.
And there was another company. It's actually an American company, a NASDAQ company. It's called Premier Exhibition, who have in years have also doing this this kind of exhibition, displayed human body, and then that company actually put a disclaimer on their own website to say the exhibits display human remains of Chinese citizens or residents which were originally received by the Chinese Bureau of Police. The Chinese Bureau of Police may receive bodies from Chinese prisons. And Premier is this the name of this exhibition. It says, Premier cannot independently verify the human remains you are viewing are not those of persons who were incarcerated in Chinese prisons. So they put their disclaimer in there because they knew these things going on.
Well, there was a, I don't know, it might have been a couple of years ago, they had one of those exhibitions in New York, and it received quite a bit of controversy.
That's one of those, too, that Nancy just mentioned.
Yeah.
That's the one he's saying.
Yeah, that's, I remember that. That was, wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, I think there was a few media agents, major media agencies actually sent their own reporters, you know, who went to China to do the independent investigation, which, you know, there's a lot of results they reveal, so which I don't have time to cover it. But there's a lot of those things, you know, actually going on, not just in China, but also around the world related to the persecution of prisoners' conscience in China, also related to the forced live organ harvesting in China.
So just out of curiosity, do the people in China even know this?
Actually, you know, a lot of the people, like Chinese students who came out of China studying in the U.S., I talked to many of them, actually, they say they never heard of it. A few of them, you know, actually say they heard of it, which is a similar case. Like if you go to, I think in 2009 was like, 20 years of a Tiananmen Square massacre, and some of the Western medias will send their reporters to the major universities in China and ask the students in the colleges, and ask any of them know the Tiananmen Square massacre, or ask them if they know what June 4th was the day of Tiananmen Square massacre. They ask them, do you know what June 4th means to you? And most of the students, you know, they never heard of it.
Yeah, no, don't have a clue.
You're talking about, you know, the white power memory of a whole generation. You know, they grew up, nothing in the textbook, nothing their parents even dare to talk about.
Well, no, because that's not going to be part of their history.
Totally forgot.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I'm sorry to be the fun killer, but we have to have one more break here before the top of the hour. We're going to come back with June and Nansu. And if you have just tuned in, you can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. And the archive of this show will be up by about 2:10, 2:15. Okay, so we're you've rerouted our entire world. we're not going to sleep for a week.
well,
I hope you're happy.
I want Nancy to explain, Aaron, a little bit about you know, not only the Chinese people do not know about this, but also they have some misconception about this group Falun Gong that he talked about earlier. I think this will go back to the other talking point that I said earlier about deceit. So, Nan, can you kind of explain how suddenly, when this group was so popular in China, suddenly over the night people started hating it and chose to be on the government side?
Right. You know, when Chinese government started the persecution against this group in July of 1999, the persecution itself, it was, you know, not acceptable to most of the society in China because people know them, right? You know, you got 100 million people practicing, they have families, friends, they all know these are, you know, nice people. So the persecution, you know, met a lot of resistance from the society all the way until January of 2001. So what the government did was they fabricated. There's a bunch of a few Falun Gong practitioners who went to Tiananmen Square, which to most of Chinese people consider as the heart of the nation. It's like, you know, just right in front of the Washington Monument, you know, in the U.S., right? That's the part. It's the same, like, to a symbol-wise, it's to a lot of Chinese people, Tiananmen Square, at that place. So what they did was they fabricated. There was a few Falun Gong practitioners who went to that place, and they did self-immolation. They burned themselves. So that, you know, that was the point that government successfully, you know, changed the public opinions against the Falun Gong. But however, the after, you know, after the self-immolation took place, there was a few Western medias went to China, and then they chased down to all these, the people, based on the report of Chinese state-owned media that say these people are Falun Gong practitioners, but they actually found those people are not Falun Gong practitioners. Basically, it was a made up by the government. There's actually a movie. Oh. It's called Force of Fire. Everyone can go. Go online and log and trying to, it's a free on the internet. It's called Force Fire. It actually got a excellent, documentary award by Columbia. It was a movie festival called Columbia, Movie Festival. So what they did was the movie actually took the government, you know, this from a report from CCTV, that's China's state-owned central TV station. They took the news report, and they did the slow motion replay of China's CCTV report, and they found all kind of loopholes in there. They, you know, basically it's very convincing. So that was a setup. There was a government organized the event, so they have a media waiting right there at the people when they start trying to burn themselves. So that was a setup.
Wow, and it obviously worked.
It worked. Yeah, it actually turned the public opinion around, and then the people start, you know, so that's how they start, you know, the persecution went very fast after that.
Yeah, because you would think if people were willing to light themselves on fire, I mean, that people would say, there might be something going on there. But no.
Yeah, again, what they used was like the technique that they used on the Tiananmen Square propaganda. They broadcast around the clock. There was no other way for you to know the truth.
Right.
So for people who initially had doubts, after, you know, watching this for over a month, you kind of tend to change your perception. And like, oh, yeah, this group might be evil, might be as well, just like what the government described.
Wow.
And then later I heard that they killed all those the fake Falun Gong people, that they paid them to ask them to sit there. And then I heard that how they did was really put a gasoline in the empty soda box and bottles, and put those bottles in between their legs, and then they ignited, and then they shot at the first hand, and then they later, I heard, Nansu, maybe you know this better, but they said, hey, you know, it was CNN or some other Western media did it, you know, shot the entire thing, and then the Western media said, you didn't even allow us to go to Tiananmen Square at that time. How could we get the, you know, the footage of that?
Total control. Total control.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, all of this is just, I mean, you know, I'd like to say it's crazy, but it's obviously happening, so it's not that crazy.
It is. And I want to say that, you know, the purpose of bringing this up is not, is really to expose the true nature of communism.
Oh, and absolutely.
I really want a general American, the public, to really to wake up, to understand the fact. The fact is, you know, sometimes communism uses slaughter and violence on those who refuse to follow it. And in this case, in many of the communist countries. However, other times, it uses the slogans of democracy, equality, social justice to infiltrate the fields of our education, media, art, law, and bringing people under its banner without them even knowing it. But, you know, you just need to wake up, look around, and then read those 4 to 5 goals of the communism, you know, overthrowing the United States. It will give you a striking realization. You know, you look at how many of those goals have been realized over the course of the past 60 years. And then remember this. Stalin once said that America is like a healthy body, and its resistance is threefold. It's patriotism, it's morality, and it's spiritual life. And if we can't undermine these three areas, America will collapse from within. So if you look at all the chaos today in our world and in our country, which is horribly divided, you look at all those, and I think, you know, you can trace back to the destruction of patriotism, the destruction of morality, and destruction of spiritual life. It is exactly happening as what Stalin said many, many years ago. And this goal of communism, of overthrowing the United States, is being realized as we speak.
Right.
And we as a nation, we need to wake up to understand that.
Yeah, this isn't just some little popular thing, you know. I mean, I think they look at some of these people like Ocasio-Cortez there in New York as like kind of a curiosity.
Well, some of them, yeah, but they look at her like, you know, she's going to be the new face. She's going to be the new face of the Democrats.
But I think people outside of that think, well, that's crazy. Nobody's really going to do that. Right. Let's not get hysterical. It's like, I don't know.
As it slowly gets a bigger foothold.
Read this list. You read the list of 45 things, then listen to Nan Su's information about what happens once communism takes hold and the kinds of things they can get away with. I don't know. That might be sobering.
Yeah.
And then know the American history. What it takes
good point.
To build this nation. It's, you know, and everyone can be swayed by those high-sounding words. I mean, that was how 100 years ago, Russian and then Chinese followed those the communist regime leaders and then decided to go on this path. Everyone loved those utopia, you know, the description of the utopia. But at what cost? And look at the results.
Yeah, look at the cost. Absolutely.
Oh my
gosh. Thank you. We're running out of time.
We're out of time, but both of you, we so appreciate your information, and I already sent you an email. I think we have to do another show. we seriously rushed through all this, and there is so much more. There's so much we don't know. We would appreciate the information, and email me anything you'd like on the page for today, and that way our listeners can go and get smart. I've been adding things. False fire, I added the video link for folks. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Sunday, both of you, and I'm sure we'll be talking soon.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thanks for being on.
Thanks a million. You've been listening to We the People. You can find all of the information and the recording of this show at wethepeopleradio.us.